Lord, the woman was brought to him guilty and cast at his feet, and he began to write on the ground. And it says, beginning at the eldest to the youngest, they all were convicted. Well, we should be too, because we're guilty, as charged of being unjust stewards of God's grace. Aren't we? What do we have? We have not received. It's all been given to us. He said this to his disciples, verse 1. He said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his master's goods. What did he waste it on? Himself. Right? This was to his disciples, wasn't it? Ah, boy. I'm his disciple, so I need this. Very convicting. Story of an unjust steward. Like the son, he just told about the son who wasted his son. The father gave the son everything, and he wasted it. Now, here's a steward that the master gave him everything, and he wasted that. That's us, both of us. We play the prodigal, and we waste our Lord's goods largely on ourselves. Well, he called the rich man, verse 2, or he called the steward, the rich man called the steward unto him, verse 2. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. To whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you be without this, be not a son. We have verse 2. He called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Is this true what I'm hearing? Give an account of your stewardship. He may no longer be a steward. I'm going to remove you. Do you remember the previous chapter, or chapter 14, he talked about salt. Losing its sake. It's not good for anything. People just walk all over it. They don't even know it's salt. He said to us, you're the salt. Didn't he? You're the light. Another place he said, light is meant to be seen. And well, we need to hang our heads on it. Now, we're all stewards of the grace of God. A steward is one who's given charge of the stores and the goods of someone else to distribute them. That's what a steward is. And the accusation of this man and all of us is, you've wasted your master's goods. You've wasted. And what is the greatest gift of God to us? We're stewards of God's grace. What is the greatest gift, unspeakable gift, is the gospel. And this is what we're primarily stewards of, isn't it? This is our purpose, like salt. We're going to see in Colossians, the next chapter of Colossians, he said, let your speech be always with grace, gracious speech, seasoned with salt, always. Let there be something that has to do with your God, your Lord, your Christ, always, especially out in the world. The only way people are using that name is in blasphemy. Oh, so we're stewards of the grace, the gospel of God's grace. And that's what 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Peter 4. Turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. But 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, let a man account of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. This gospel is a mystery to everyone by nature. Why do we know it? God revealed it unto us. He's made known this mystery unto us. He's hid it from the wise and prudent. So what do we do? Make it known. Make it known. Tell it. 1 Peter 4. Peter says this in verse. And all through 1 Peter, he's talking about suffering, 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 and suffering, suffering. For Christ's sake. That's what it's all about. And in verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody, and other men's matter. This is what we've been looking at in Colossians. Put off that old man. Put on a new. But now verse 16, if any suffer as a Christian, a follower of Christ, a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be ashamed. Glorify God. Verse 17, here it is. The time has come. Judgment begins at the house of God. Judgment begins at the house of God. You remember the letters to the churches in Revelation. Almost all of them, the Lord said, I have something against you. Didn't it? Almost all of them. Only two of them, I think, that the Lord didn't rebuke sharply. It began with Ephesus. We love Ephesians. No, love it. Well, that church, and Timothy was the first pastor then. He said, you've left your first love. That's, you've heard the gospel so much. You know, every time we hear the gospel, how can we hear the gospel with a dry eye if we really heard it? And then he went on, the last letter was to Laodicea. And what did he say to them? He said, you're rich and increased with good. You have it all. You have all this world has to offer and you don't know. You have need of nothing. You know, we're just as poor and needy as the day we first heard the gospel. He said to them, you don't know. You just forget that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And he said, repent. Every one of them, he said, repent. That's us. And that's us. We get caught up in this world and we're still just poor and needy sinners. And this is the one thing needful. But 1 Peter 4, let's see. Yeah, I just read that to you. Judgment begins at the house of God. No one is hearing this right now but you. Us, me. Right? And perhaps some others over the air. We need them. If any suffer as a Christian, for righteousness' sake, for Christ's sake, for the truth's sake, for the truth's sake. He said, that's great, it's wonderful. He rejoiced. If you're persecuted for my name's sake, Christ said, rejoice. The prophets were. And someone once said this, if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, go back to our text. I'm guilty. Are you guilty? Well, he said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe this. After all I've done for you. And verse 3. The steward, here's the steward. Now he said, what am I going to do? Now remember, this is an unjust steward. The Lord's using an unjust steward to convict and convince and rebuke his true men who are just man, but he's using an unjust steward. What he was resolved to do and did with Mammon, wiser in Mammon, and then he goes on to say, in a minute, maybe you've never understood what he's saying, but you're going to, that the people of this world are wiser than God's people when it comes to some of these things. We need to be wise as serpents. Harmless as death. Now he said, here, what am I going to do? The Lord's going to take me away from the stewardship. He says, I cannot dig. Matthew Henry said, what he meant was, I won't dig. I'm not going to dig. I'm not going to beg. Well, buddy, we need to be willing to dig, don't we? Or beg. Beggars can't be choosy. In verse 4, he said, this is what I'll do. When I'm put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me in their houses. So he called, verse 5 through 7, he called one of his Lord's debtors unto him, said, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, write this, right? 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take your bill and write 80. All right? Everything is, the Lord said, he just didn't pull things out of the air. They meant something. Right? Oil. How much oil have we received? Our cups run over. The oil, blessed oil that came down from Christ, the oil of his spirit, the oil of gladness, the gospel had come down, he had the beard, the screw. We're just dripping with it, aren't we? We've got so much of God's truth and grace here. People out there don't have any. How much oil has the Lord poured on our heads? Thousands of messages we've heard. Thousands. That tape room down there is literally there. Several thousand messages. Stephen, thank you, Stephen. Stephen is taking those off of cassettes and putting them in the computer and has to do it real time. No fast way to do it. I said, I'm sorry you have to do this. It takes a lot of time. He said, oh, I'm enjoying it. I'm hearing it. I'm listening to every message. But we're trying to get those out. And we are. And he's putting them up on thousands of them. Why are they sitting there? Well, we'll just waste it away. Let's either burn them or distribute them. Just the other day, a man came here on business, and I took my own advice or counsel, and I talked to him a little bit, and I gave him some. He had a 4-hour drive back home. I said, do you have a CD player in your car? He said, yes, sure do. I said, good. A captive audience, you know. I gave him some, but we need to distribute these things. There's a couple in California. I told you about them. In their 80s. And they just heard the gospel not too long ago. Listen to my dad, listen to me. And they're rejoicing. Oh, they're rejoicing. They're loving the gospel. They can't get enough. We've been sending them CDs. And it's just difficult. They don't have a phone. They don't have a computer. They don't have anything. They're dinosaurs. And but they have a CD player. And we've been sending them CDs. And other places have to. And I got the idea. I thought, man, we can do this a little easier. So we, the church, you pay for it. I sent him a MP3 player. Okay? And you can stick one of these little flash drives in it. And you can put 4 zillion messages on there. And I sent him 150, he asked for the short messages, the radio messages, 15 minutes. And honestly, they're the best to give to somebody. They really are the best to give somebody. People won't listen very long. But 15 minutes is long enough. So I put 150 messages on this, one of these, and sent it to him. That was 2-3 weeks ago. He just called me yesterday and said, can you send some more? He's been sharing them with a man up the street from him, a young man who's a physician's assistant, and he said he's loving what he's hearing. We're stewards of this gospel. I need to send it out. And we do. You do. I know you do. But who can say if who can say I've done well? Anybody? Not me. My dad used to say this though, you know, and my job is to feed you and witness, but I have a wonderful opportunity. I can speak over the radio and so forth. But dad used to say this, he said, talking about the preacher, he said, my job is to fill the pulpit. Your job is to fill the pew. He said, if all I care about is filling the pew, I won't fill the pulpit. You know, you stop and think about that. But it's your job. And these means, what these means are, is not what we hope and pray is that the Lord will use these means to bring people to where they'll actually hear the gospel. These tapes and all that are no substitute for being under the sound of the gospel with God's people. God uses this to the salvation of souls. And that's the means, though. That's a means in which you maybe spark an interest or a little bit of discontent, or just like the blind man who started seeing men as trees, but he didn't see clearly. And finally, he came to the Lord where the Lord was, and now he sees. So we use these means, and we need to use them. We need to use them. Well, this man, and how much wheat have we received? Bread. You know, the Lord tried the children of Israel on manna. He said, I'm going to prove you by this manna. He gave them manna, angel's food, bread from heaven. What's that? Christ said, I'm the bread from heaven. And they ate it for 40 years. How long have we been eating this gospel? One of those 40 years. Well, most of them got tired of it. And God was tired of them. Oh, let us never weary, get tired. Let's be, fear, growing weary of this sweet bread, the gospel. The article, look at verse 8. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he'd done wisely. He commended the unjust. This is an unsaved, unregenerate, unjust man. Okay? He's not a believer. He commends him for doing the wise thing. And he said in verse 8, the children of this world in their generation are wiser than the children of light. This man realized, he's going to kick me out, and I've done wrong, and I got to do something. I don't want to be cast out. And I don't want to be ashamed. I'm ashamed now, and I don't want to be ashamed. But I've got to do something. It's not too late. I'll do something. You know, the children of the world and the things of the world are often wiser and more industrious and diligent and fervent and active and zealous for the things of this world than God's people are the things of God. Right? There's a man people would all take up political causes. I mean, they post a man's name everywhere. If only we were that zealous for the name of God. Now, we wouldn't post it up like that, but we'd be glorifying his name. And that was a religious man that put that thing right there. I thought, if he feared God's name and loved his people, he wouldn't have put that there. That man's name, right? You see it. Big old poster. What's his name? Running for delegate? Poindexter. But this place and us as believers, we got one cause. We have one cause. One name we're extolling in honor. One call. We're not in politics. Margaret has to, she has to, that's her job. Okay? That's, excuse me. And, I rallied votes for Margaret. All vote for Margaret, say aye. 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 But she knows the Lord put her in there. Not man. She knows that. It's just, and she's not, that's not a political office, is it? She said to me many times, you shouldn't have to vote on that. But our cause is not, we don't have any political causes. Brothers and sisters, we don't. Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my service would fight. Yes, I'm concerned about our children. Yes. But it's not going to change. It's going to get worse. It's bad and it's going to get worse. The Lord promised that's going to happen. Ain't nothing we can do about it. And that's not fatalism. But what I'm saying is, we're just going to have to trust the Lord, aren't we? I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s and 70s. That's when all hell broke loose. You know it well. You remember, John, don't you, when it started, hippies and all that, free love, and just San Francisco and all that, just, anything goes. Well, my dad wasn't out rallying for, you know, political causes. We got to do this, got to do that. No. He's calling on the Lord. And though I was caught up in the middle of that, what's the power of God unto salvation? Politics? No, the gospel. It's one thing to save souls. This is the one thing this is what people need here. Our kingdom's not of this world. And we don't fight for this world. We're not polishing the brass on this sinking ship. We've jumped ship. We're in the ark. Well, Luke 16, look at verse 9. So the Lord said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Maybe you've never understood what this means. Well, maybe this will help you. Go back to chapter 11. The Lord's not saying love the world, the things of the world, or try to accumulate all the things in the world that you can, so that when you fail, you'll have a savings account to look back on. He said the opposite. He said, sell what you have. Well, what is he saying? Friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. He just commended an unjust steward for being wise in these things. And the people of this world are very wise to invest. Riches are their security. And I saw just the other day, it says an advertisement for some kind of securities firm. And the question was, will $1 million be enough for you to retire on? $1 million? Seriously? Boy, if that doesn't describe the times. If the depression hits, $10 million won't be enough. Ask my grandfather. My grandmother went through the depression in 1929. They had a house. He had a job. Gone. No, but we've got, you know, there's insurance companies. And National Federal Reserve is going to make sure we... Yeah, right. What is our... hope, and what are we depending on? Riches from above. Unsearchable riches. Where am I? Chapter 11, Luke 11, verse 41. This is what the Lord said. Give alms of such things that you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. In other words, we have things. Why do we have things? To give alms of, to use, to distribute for the cause of Christ. Paul, throughout the epistles, talks about graces and ministries that God's given people, and some people have given earning power, good jobs, to earn a lot more money than others. Why? So they get more money. Right? Because all of us, let's face it, few of us give sacrificially or give to the point where it hurts us. So he gives some people the ability to earn more money. Well, they ought to give more. So give alms and all things are clean. Money, there's nothing evil about money. What does he say? The love of money. And consider the gravity of what all is in that statement. The love of money is the root of all evil. That you can't find one evil thing on earth that doesn't have the love of money in it. Think about that. People will sell their souls for money. Yes, they will. We sing that song, and I was convicted, but I love it. Be thou my vision. Listen to one of the verses. Riches I heed not. Yeah, right. Nor man's empty praise. Yeah. It'd be a good prayer, though, wouldn't it? Lord, let me not heed riches, and let me not heed man's empty praise. It's a good resolve, but only by the grace of God. These things have such an appeal and allure, don't they? Yes, they do. And he said, look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. First thing, verse 32 is very special to me. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How did Christ prove his love for us? He gave himself. He who was rich did what? For our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Sell what you have, verse 33. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. This is what he's saying in Luke 16. Treasure in heaven that faileth not. You're going to fail, he said. You're going to fail, and everything you have is going to fail. You're going to lose it. Now, this is the treasure. These are the bags. This is the savings account, if you will, you need to invest in. Things above. Set not your affection on things below. It's all going to fail. But on things above. That when this all fails, you're going to be received in the everlasting kingdom. You know, the Lord talks about the gold and silver. It's going to rise up. The rust, the canker of gold and silver is going to rise up in the judgment against a lot of people. Years ago, a woman, a widow woman, over in Eastern Virginia in the Tidewater area. Well, I'll tell you her name. Vernell Firth was her name. She heard Henry Mahan preach and the Lord Savior. And she, how she loved the gospel. And she was very rich. I don't know, inheritance or business or her husband or whatever. But she was very rich. She just loved the gospel, and Dad would go visit her some. I think I went there. I did. I went there with him one time. Gracious lady, lovely lady. She just loved the truth, the gospel. Well, when she died, she left nearly all of her estate to 13th Street Baptist Church for Henry Mahan to distribute for the sake of the gospel. That's unheard of. Most people, they get a bunch of stuff and they're saving it for what? For who? For our children, so that what are they going to do with it? Going to blow it. They're going to blow it. That's what the proverb said. All it said. Wouldn't it be good to at least give half of our goods? Zacchaeus said that the half of my goods I'm going to give. The Lord didn't correct him. Half of my good, I'm going to give. And you know how many people benefited from that woman leaving that. Every Grace Church I know of was a recipient. This church was. This was 25, 30 years ago, whatever. And we were going to remodel this whole building. We didn't have any money, and I wasn't going to ask for it. Not about to ask. Well, Dad, the church sent a $25,000 check here. That was 25 or 30 years ago. That went a long way. Well, what we're enjoying right now is partly from that. Mexico. All those villages in Mexico. All those people in Mexico. Bought bicycles. People down there don't have cars. Around here, my neighbor next to my mother has five cars in their driveway. Across the street, there are seven. And the brethren down in Mexico, Most of them walk everywhere they go. Grass huts. Well, they bought bicycles, mopeds. There were preachers down there who were going to village walking. And they bought little scooters. Oh, they might as well have been a Mercedes-Benz. What'd they do? Went everywhere with the gospel. You know what the Lord's done down there? Cast your bread on the water and you'll see it after many days. You'll see it. You're going to see your brethren in glory. Vernell, the Lord could well have said to her, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Look at all this fruit. And if she had answered, I know what she'd have said. She'd have said, I'm still an unprofitable servant. And so he commended this unjust steward for that. And he tells us, verse 10, look at it. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Well, so here's the lesson for all of us. The unjust steward said, quickly, quick, get your checkbook out. Now, I'm not appealing for money at all. No. I don't need money. The church really doesn't need money right now. But there are lots of, this gospel needs to go out. And we're stewards of the gospel of God's grace, and other people need what we have. And he just told of that son who didn't rejoice over the salvation of his brother. And so, and that's the Pharisees. And the Pharisees heard this, and they were covetous, and they said, you know, like, we tithe of everything we do. Oh, man. You're going to be taken out. You're going to be removed. You're not my steward. So, I'm convicted. Well, quickly. It's not too late. Start now. Okay.